Today on Maine Calling, getting your home ready for winter. Temperatures are expected to hit 80 in some parts of Maine today, so it might be hard to think about winter. But we know it's coming and that it's best to be prepared. How might you improve your home's energy efficiency? Well, the new Winter Heating Guide from the Maine Department of Energy Resources just came out today with lots of tips and resources. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on Maine Calling, we will get updates on the latest rebate programs available for heat pumps and weatherization, where to turn for low-income financial assistance for heat or weatherization projects, and some do-it-yourself energy efficiency ideas. Could you cut your heating costs this year? Maine Calling is just ahead.
Maine Calling is made possible in part by Rennie's, a Maine shopping adventure with 19 locations across the state, now open in Bangor and Waterville, and by Maine Seacoast Mission, delivering health care, education, and support to islands and coastal Down East communities. Learn more at seacoastmission.org.
I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. We all know that cold temperatures are on the way, and with them, higher home heating bills. Well, today we are going to discuss ways to try and lower your home heating costs. It is not too early to plan. It is October. My guest today, Dan Burgess, who is Acting Commissioner of Maine's Department of Energy Resources. Sarah Johnson, who is Manager of the Home Energy Assistant Program with Maine State Housing Authority, and Michael Stoddard, Executive Director at Efficiency Maine. We invite you to join the conversations. What questions do you have about getting your home ready for winter? Are you looking for incentives or help in doing so? You can send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, post a comment on Facebook or Instagram, or give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. Thank you all for joining us here today. I'm going to start with you, Dan. I know that Maine set out some really ambitious goals in terms of trying to get more and more people off of fossil fuels, but also just off of this cycle of having to pay a lot to heat their homes in the winter and no longer having to be really at the whim of whatever the oil price was, the natural gas price was. Where are we in those goals?
Thanks so much for having me on, Jennifer. So Maine has long been the most home heating fuel dependent state in the country. You know, for decades, we've been very reliant on heating fuel to heat our homes.
So what you mean by that is the greatest percentage of people using oil.
That's right.
Okay, go on.
As their primary source. So we spend about $4.5 billion on imported fossil fuels annually. In the last 7 years, at least in the Mills administration, we have seen that reliance drop. We've gone from over 62% of our homes using heating fuel to now, looking at new federal data, just 50%. And so Maine consumers are diversifying how they're heating their homes, and particularly we've seen an increase in the amount of homes that are using high efficiency heat pumps, and so we're seeing more and more homeowners turn to heat pumps, turn to electricity as they seek to diversify and spend less in those winter months.
All right. And it's so interesting, Dan, because it used to be, and not that long ago, that the last thing you wanted to heat your home with was electricity. Tell us about why that has changed.
Well, what we're seeing is that heat pump technology, I think in large part to the efforts of Efficiency Maine Trust and the work at Maine Housing, our other two panelists, we are seeing high efficiency heat pumps. The technology has improved, where these are some of the most efficient ways to heat your home and, yes, cool your home. I know it's 85 degrees in parts of Maine today, but we do have a frost coming later this week, or a frost warning. So the heat pump technology has really come a long way, and our people are adopting them across the state.
Michael Stoddard, I'm going to turn to you because I know that there are federal tax credits, especially for solar power, that we discussed on Maine Calling that will be expiring at the end of the year. But that's a very different thing than what the state has offered for years and will continue to offer, correct? So could you please just sort of give us a top line list of what is available to consumers who are thinking about either weatherizing or shifting to these high efficiency heat pumps that Dan's talking about?
I'm so glad you asked that question, Jennifer. If you are thinking of insulating your home, if you are thinking of getting a new water heater for your home, if you're thinking about doing anything to add air conditioning capacity or heating, changing your heating system, we still have all the same rebates through Efficiency Maine that we've had in prior years that you've read about. They're all still there. They were not impacted by these changes in federal policy. So Maine has its own set of policies that it has adopted at the state level, and those programs are run through our shop, some of them. Maine Housing has some other programs that they're still offering too, but the ones that are available through Efficiency Maine, go to our website at efficiencymaine.com, and you will see all the details for all those different types of products.
Okay, well, how about some top line? Let's say I heat with oil. I'm thinking, if I install a couple heat pumps in really sort of critical central places in my home, maybe I can depend on those this winter. How much might that cost me, and how much might the rebate help me?
Well, the installed costs range, and I would strongly encourage customers to get more than one bid. We are blessed in this state with a really robust community of heat pump installers, and they have to compete against each other to get your business. And so you'll get a better price if you get multiple bids. The prices are ranging between $5,000 and $6,000 per mini split heat pump, and it's really going to depend on the size of your house and how well insulated it is. You might be able to heat your whole home with just a couple. If you have a bigger home or it's draftier, you might need three or more. The rebates that we have available for folks start at $1,000 per mini split heat pump, and there's a limit of rebates of three per household. But if you're moderate income, that rebate doubles to $2,000 per unit, and if you're low income, that rebate triples to 3,000 per unit, up to a total of 9,000 per household.
All right. All right. Thanks for that, Michael. I'm going to turn to you, Sarah. Michael mentioned that you still have programs available. Tell me what is available for people, either through Maine Housing or through the other programs that you administer.
Oh, thank you so much for having me today. So, of course, the top thing that we typically talk about is the Home Energy Assistance Program. That is a one-time benefit that income-eligible households can receive. It helps offset the cost to heat your home. Of course, we do have electricity as one of the fuel sources, so that if you do use heat pumps, you are still eligible for heating assistance. Part of the heat program is it makes you eligible for other programs such as weatherization services or central heating improvement program. So if you have a heating system that is in need of repair or replacement, you might be eligible to use CHIP services. All of those are administered through local community action agencies. So once you've applied for HEAP, you can become eligible for weatherization or CHIP services.
All right. So, and just to be clear, Sarah, because I've been a reporter in Maine for more than 30 years, this is the program that everybody used to refer to as LIHEAP, is now referred to as HEAP.
Yes.
And tell me what the acronym stands for.
It's the Home Energy Assistance Program.
All right, the Home Energy Assistance Program. And I'm thinking, Sarah, that there are people out there who may qualify who do not apply. Do you think that that's the case?
I actually do think that that is the case. So I would encourage listeners to go to Maine Housing, org, and you can search in our search bar for the HEAP program or heating assistance. We do have an online application that's available now. We started taking applications on August 1st. Applications will go through the end of May.
And so is there any chance that the funds will run out? I know every year it sort of seems to be this big question. At some point, will Congress allocate the funds, and are they enough? Do we know how cold the winter is going to be? So what are you thinking about this year?
Well, I think typically that we always have demand that exceeds funding, just because we are, Dan said, we are very reliant on heating fuel. And so we do typically experience a time where we'll move to a wait list while we determine whether or not there is still funding available.
All right. And is the funding for the actual fuel separate from the other funding you were talking about? For example, if somebody is on applies for home heating oil assistance, is on the wait list, but thinks, well, maybe I'll get some weatherization. Is there another bucket of funds available to them?
So that typically comes in through the HEAP grant. We do have other sources of funding, but talking about weatherization or CHIP, that's all part of the block grant under called LIHEAP.
All right. All right. Let's see. I am going to go to a question already. This is an email from Jack. He writes, I'm excited by the prospect of thermal energy networks powered by geothermal power that would heat whole neighborhoods without the need for every building to have central heat. In addition to being far more efficient and less carbon intensive, these systems are also resilient to blackouts, and people will not have to go weeks without heat after a winter storm. But despite these benefits, I haven't heard much about them in Maine, although they're critical to our climate and energy future. So, Dan, why isn't thermal a bigger thing in Maine? I know that there are some people who use it.
Yeah, so there's a couple types of geothermal systems. One would be and geothermal really is kind of drilling a well down into the ground, and then using that usable heating or cooling, depending on your type of system. Those are, and Michael can talk about, they have rebates for those at the Efficiency Maine Trust right now, still available to consumers. There's a new type of technology, basically networking many of those systems together, or a geothermal energy network. We don't have any of those in Maine yet, at least that are serving residences in that way. There are some of those at campuses. There is one in Massachusetts that is being looked at, or there is one that we're looking at. And the legislature actually asked the Department of Energy Resources to do a study on this, and we have a request for information out on the street right now. So we'd be happy to take more information from those that are interested in networks.
All right, Michael, did you want to follow up?
Yeah, I think it's worth noting that these projects involve quite a bit of infrastructure to do a whole community and put them on a central loop of this thermal heating supply. And that can get a little expensive, which is why it's being piloted right now in Massachusetts and a bunch of places in New York. And so we are following those pilots very closely to see what they learn and whether it is really economical to do this, because if it is, it could be quite useful in a bunch of places in Maine.
Sarah, I think a lot of people, when they hear about everything we're talking about today on Maine Calling, whether it's weatherization or heat pumps or something, are thinking about, well, this is a conversation for people who own their own homes. Is this also a conversation for people who rent apartments? And how so? What's available to renters?
So there, heating assistance is available to renters. That's for renters even that have heat included in their rent. It has to, a household has to have a determinable energy cost. And so renters are certainly encouraged to apply as well.
All right. How many people, Sarah, do, and I'll go to you in just a second, Michael, how many people are there in Maine's heating assistant program right now? How many homes?
So last year we served around 45,000 households. That was down. The year before, we had approximately 65,000 that we served. So we did move to a, a wait list both years. And so I would anticipate, based on where we are currently with the number of applications that we have, that we're on target to hit between 45 and 46,000 households again this next year. One thing that I did want to point out is that part of being eligible for HEAP, you also can receive the LIHEAP program, which is the Low Income Assistance Program, that's with the utility provider. And so that HEAP eligibility means that you could be eligible for a reduced reduced amount on your electricity bill, as well as eligibility for the Arrearage Management Program as well.
And so for that, all of these, do people turn to their local community action program?
They can go to their community action program. They can also apply online.
All right. Michael, go ahead. You wanted to jump in earlier.
Yeah, you asked a question about renters and their ability to access some of these benefits. And I just wanted to commend folks to the initiative that's been going on for about a year now to make sure that new construction of affordable housing in Maine is being outfitted with the best insulation and heating and cooling systems. And so this is a program that's getting funding that's routed through Dan's office to our office at Efficiency Maine, and we're working with some of these developers. So in the last 12 months, more than 13 projects have been approved that will build more than 600 affordable housing units. And that's almost $5 million in incentives to help them go all heat pump and very well insulated. Those are going to be great units that are really going to help the renters. So it's a different way to help renters. The renters don't have to take any action. We're working with the developers and the property managers.
All right, and let me ask you something, Michael, because I think that that he email from one of our listeners talking about geothermal and not being tied to the grid talked about power outages. If you've got an apartment building, one of these low-income apartment buildings that you're talking, or even not even low-income, any apartment building that is built with this great new technology, great weatherization, all heat pumps, and then there's a power outage, what happens? Or do they all have generators?
Yeah, so they will need some source of electricity to keep running, and if the power goes out, you're going to need generators to back it up. The same as you would today in any apartment, whether it's gas heated or oil heated, they're all going to have the same need. And frankly, I think that would be true also of these geothermal networks. They're going to need power also. So they're getting energy and the heating and cooling out of the ground, but they still need electricity to power the pumps to move the heat around.
All right. Well, we're looking for your questions about how to better get your home ready for winter. Our experts are here to answer them. You can give us a call, 1-800-399-3566. Send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. We are talking about getting your home ready for winter by taking steps to lower your heating costs. My guests today, all here to offer their expertise. Sarah Johnson is the manager of HEAP at the Maine State Housing Authority. Michael Stoddard is the executive director of Efficiency Maine, and Dan Burgess is the acting commissioner of the Maine Department of Energy Resources. We invite you to join the conversation. What steps are you taking to get your home ready for winter? Have you done something that had a big impact in the past, or have you done something that you didn't think really mattered that much? Email us at talk@mainepublic.org. Again, talk@mainepublic.org. You can find us on Facebook or Instagram, or give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. On the line with us now, Chuck Ransom, who is project manager with RS Insulation based in Cherryfield. Chuck, thanks so much for giving us a call.
Well, thank you, Jennifer.
So, when you go to people's homes down East Maine, what is the most important message you want to get to them about saving money in the winter?
So I just wanted to touch that on the fact that weatherization isn't just insulation. And a lot of people call, we are an insulation company, but air sealing is just as important as insulation. If you picture insulation actually just slows down the thermal transfer of heat through, through a surface. And so when you pile on insulation in your attic. You know, it just, it's slowing that process down of the heat dissipating through that. But air sealing, you're plugging holes where cold air, you know, can enter your home. And so it's just as important, you know, to deal with the air sealing as the insulation.
Yeah, Chuck, anybody who's had the experience with the blower door knows that air can be coming in places you don't expect. And I'm wondering if you could talk about some of those. In my experience, I've found it's not just the crack under the bottom of your door or the window that's not sealed tight, but maybe that can light that's in the addition somebody put on your house in the 1970s.
That's exactly right. And you know, part of the process sometimes involves actually removing insulation in attics and finding those holes and sealing them up, so that makes for a much better, you know, result in the end.
So I want to ask you, how popular are heat pumps in your part of Maine? Are you seeing a lot of people change to them? And what's your advice about thinking about them? What do you need to know?
So I think if people are considering heat pumps, which are really great technology, I have two myself and have reduced my oil consumption by at least half, if not more. But I think people, and Maine Housing, I know I've done some work for them in the past, and if they're considering a heat pump, you should really have an energy audit done first, because sometimes it can be more of a burden on the electric. So I've seen, you know, where it raises the cost. If, you know, if it's poorly insulated and there's a lot of air leakage, the heat pumps can actually, you know, be a little more costly then. So I would definitely advise to have an energy audit, or at least have somebody come out and do an assessment of the home.
Okay. When you go to homes and you're doing weatherization and you're doing, you know, whether it's insulation or general advice, how do you find it is to access the rebates that we were talking about at the top of the program?
So I think it's pretty easy if you have somebody that can navigate through those for you. And it's kind of seamless. A lot of that stuff is actually health and safety that happens in the background, because when we seal up your home, we don't want combustion gases or mold or any other harmful substances, you know, become worse. So the rebates, if you have, they're very, very easy to work through. Ourselves, we're a full service company. We perform all the rebate paperwork for customers, and then
great,
and meet all
yeah.
the requirements. Yeah.
Chuck, thank you so much for calling in. Chuck Ransom, Project Manager with RS Insulation, based in Cherryfield. Michael, is that the case? In most cases, will the organization that you've hired, whether it's the folks who are putting in insulation or the folks putting in the heat pumps or the folks doing the energy audit, will they know how to access those rebates and be able to fill out the forms for that for you?
Yeah, we're pretty lucky in our state that the contractor community is really familiar with these programs, and they do a great job of helping people. Most of this information is available online, so customers who are intrigued can check it out themselves and see all the forms. But almost all these contractors are very familiar with it and will help you through it.
We'll go to Carol calling from Wiscasset. Hi, Carol. Go ahead.
Hi, Jennifer. Thank you for taking my call. No, I'm a renter, and I the heat pumps, I've had question about and sort of concerns about, you know, health issues and things because of all of the piping. And I wondered, you know, having gone through a situation where one heat pump was cleaned and seeing what came out of it. I just wonder about that. And if there was anything to be concerned about, mold or anything like that, please.
Yeah. And, you know, Michael, I think this is something people don't know. You do need to maintain a heat pump. How often and what happens if you don't?
So the good news is that the piece that has contact with the air in your home is the piece that you see up on the wall, and it's very accessible, and you pop the front of it up and you can see a little screen there and you can rinse it under the sink. And you should do that periodically, maybe every couple of months if you're using it a lot. And that will rinse off any of the particulates that are working, that might be coming into the room that you're in. The piping is not something you should be worried about in terms of interacting with you. That is completely sealed and it is a closed loop. So nothing from that piping is coming directly into your home.
All right. Well, Carol, thank you for the question. We'll go to Harpswell and Eve. Hi, Eve. Go ahead.
Hi there. Thank you for picking up my call. I just wanted to make sure that I understood well when it was said that for your heat pumps, if you have an electricity cut, CMP has a problem, you don't get electricity in your house. We installed about 10 heat pumps, and I don't think we can get a generator big enough to get that whole thing running. So we have kept the oil system. And the oil system, contrary to the heat pump, doesn't need a lot of electricity just to start up. And I don't want people to think that they can do the same thing for their heat pumps. Maybe I'm wrong, but I would like to have cleared about that.
You know, Eva, I think this is a really good part of this conversation, really important information. And Michael, I'll turn to you to answer Eve's question, but also just this idea that I know that in the beginning, when heat pumps started to come out, it was always recommended that they be supplemental heat source. Now we're seeing buildings built where it's the only heat source, but there are still many situations in which it is still better as a supplemental heat source. So, Michael, if you wouldn't mind, first of all, answering Eve's question, but then also just talking about how somebody who's thinking about this might want to think about backup or primary heat source.
Yeah, so I'm going to respectfully disagree with you, Jennifer, that it's better as a supplemental heat system. I'm convinced that they are best in all cases as a primary heat
system. In all cases, because what I understand is at some point they become less efficient when it's 0 degrees outside.
That's not wrong. That is true. But that's like if you had a Toyota Prius, which is very efficient, saying, well, as it goes uphill, it starts to become less efficient. So should you stop driving it at that point? No, you keep going. You'll be fine overall. You are correct that there are some homes that are going to be a very tough fit economically right now for heat pumps because they would need too many heat pumps in order to heat the whole home. So I think you have a good point there, Jennifer. But in a home that is the right size, an appropriate size, heat pumps can and will do the whole job for you. You may need a little bit of supplementing for them, but that, I would argue, is a better system than using them as the supplement and something else as the primary. And that's what the new technology is allowing. It performs so well, even at negative 10, negative 15 degrees Fahrenheit, that you now can, in almost all towns in Maine, there's a few places that are super, super cold on rare occasions, way up north, and they would have to be a little bit more careful. But in almost all cases, you can use heat pumps now as your primary heating system. To get to Eve's point about his system, he is correct that if you have a whole lot of heat pumps, it's going to be probably impractical to run them all on an emergency generator. And so if you leave your old fossil heating system in place, he's also correct that that does not use very much electricity on an emergency generator. So you would be able to get away with a pretty small, pretty affordable emergency generator for those times when the power goes out. Some people are heating their homes with more than one mini split heat pump. And so it could be that you wouldn't run all of the heat pumps in your home. You might just run a couple of the ones that are in the center of the house, the most important ones to you, and you could get away with a smaller generator. But other people are just getting a really big generator and they're running all their heat pumps on their emergency generator. So there's more than one way to skin a cat.
Eve, thanks so much for your call. We'll go to Aiden from Idaho. Hi, Aiden. Go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking the call. A little segue into this is we usually just burn with wood and as a supplemental heat source. I'd just be curious. We're looking at putting in a combo cook heat wood stove, and I was curious if there's anything Efficiency Maine does around wood heating, and also just as an alternative for people with power outage issues with heat pumps, you know, wood stoves are a great alternative.
Yeah, Aiden, thanks for the call. Mike, boy, all the questions are for you today. Tell us, is there any help for people who want to upgrade their system that uses wood?
Not in the exact situation that the caller is referencing. We're not currently offering incentives on wood heat as a supplement. We do have incentives for pellet boilers when they are the central heating system in a home. So that is one option that people can use. But I want to point out that we've been doing some surveys, and they have showing that a lot of people are doing what the caller is doing, which is they're putting several heat pumps in their home as their primary heating source, and then they have one or two wood stoves as supplements and or backup if the power goes out. And it's a really nice combination. I think Mainers are very familiar with wood heat. Obviously, we have we're rich in resources for wood heat. And so when we're all trying to make it more affordable to heat our homes, and we're trying to make sure we have a good backup system in case of power outages, those wood stoves are a great supplement to a heat pump system.
All right. Well, thank you, Aiden, for your question. I know, Dan, that you are eager to talk about something that just came out today. We mentioned it at the top of the program. People can get answers to a lot of questions where?
Yeah, so today the Department of Energy Resources released our annual winter heating guide, which takes all of these great programs and opportunities and tips and puts them in one place to give people the tools they need to, as they approach the winter, to save money, keep warm, stay informed. So you can go to maine.gov/energy and look for the winter heating guide there. It's updated with all of our state partners on resources. Also say you can find the latest on electricity prices, but also heating fuel prices. We've entered the part of the year where our office does weekly statewide heating fuel prices for oil, kerosene, and propane. And you can find the latest on prices going into the winter. I do want to say, kind of tying a few threads together here, I mean, I think now, regardless of your system, heat pump, wood stove, oil boiler, now is the time to make sure you're servicing your system. You've got your, you've cleaned your heat pump filter, you've had the chimney cleaned, and also contacting your fuel provider to make sure that you're set up for delivery, and that you kind of are all set going into the winter so that you're not scrambling later in the year. And then I guess I'd also note that, you know, as we have these kind of cooler mornings, it's a really good time to look for those common leaks and looking at kind of those areas which are cooler. And it's also a really good time to test your system out. So I think, you know, turn it on in the morning, make sure it's working appropriately. And as we get into the winter, it's a good time to do that testing.
Dan, I want to go back to the first thing you were just talking about, which is cost. What are the predictions for this winter?
Well, it's can be difficult to predict the cost of a global energy market. Right now, it appears, or we've seen over the past few weeks, that costs are about where they have been. But as the weather turns cooler, as we see kind of impacts related to whether it's, you know, federal policy or global policy with OPEC and others, it's difficult to know. A lot of it is driven by weather. Right now, projections appear to be that we're going to see heating fuel prices remain kind of roughly where they are, but it's tough to know going into the winter. I'll say that on the heating fuel prices, you can also see the past couple of winters, the winter of 22 and 23, when we saw really significant spikes in prices that we all felt as energy consumers in the state. Those were driven by, you know, unknown kind of international events. And so there's always going to be some uncertainty depending on what happens around the world.
Michael.
Yeah, I think I just want to agree that it's concerning when so much of our pricing for our energy that we depend on to get through our winters and to run our businesses and our schools and everything else. And it's frustrating to feel out of control about those prices. There's really nothing you can do to control that. But one thing you can control is how much you consume and what type you consume. And that I think is one of the reasons the programs at Efficiency Maine and at Maine Housing and the advice Dan was just giving out is so valuable and is so frequently acted on by Maine consumers. They like the feeling of being able to have some a bit control of how much they use. And so weatherizing your home, putting insulation in, you know, doing smart things with putting drapes and curtains in your home and putting in, you know, doing the cleaning that Dan was talking about and the maintenance on your system. Those are things that make us feel better. Like, okay, I'm taking some actions to try and get my arms around this. So I feel like I have a little bit of control. And I think choosing electric, which is made locally, and choosing high efficiency heating systems, whatever they are, but heat pumps certainly are very good at it, is one way to get back some of that control.
Well, we are going to take a quick break. We're talking about getting your home ready for winter. Our phone number, 1-800-399-3566. If you're quick, you have time to get a brief email in, talk@mainpublic.org. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Winter is approaching, and with it, a likely rise in your heating costs. Today, we're getting tips on how to try and mitigate the cost of heating your home. With me, Michael Stoddard with Efficiency Maine, Dan Burgess with the Maine Department of Energy Resources, and Sarah Johnson with the Maine State Housing Authority. Our email address, talk@mainpublic.org. It looks like the lines are full, but you can try to get through. 1-800-399-3566. Before we return to the calls, though, Sarah, I wanted to ask you, we talked earlier about what used to be called LIHEAP and now is called HEAP, which is the heating assistance program. But what if today I don't qualify for that program, but then come January, I lose my job or something else happens and suddenly I can't pay my fuel bill? Is there help for that person?
There certainly is. If you don't qualify right now, you can always apply again if circumstances change. I would encourage you to reach out to your community action agency. And you had a really good point. What happens if you're experiencing an energy crisis where you're either out of oil or you're under a quarter of a tank, for example? We do have the Energy Crisis Intervention Program that is for HEAP eligible applicants. However, you can contact your community action agency, explain your emergency situation. They'll expedite the HEAP application and they'll review you for eligibility for the ESIP program. That is a single benefit per program year up to $500, which typically, based on what we're looking at, will be about 125 gallons of oil right now that you would be eligible to receive. It also assists people who have a winter notice for their electricity. So it can help if you use electricity to, for example, run your heating system.
Thank you. We'll go to Catherine calling from Ellsworth. Hi, Catherine. Go ahead.
Oh, thank you. I wondered if the panelists were familiar with Window Dressers, which is a Maine nonprofit that makes affordable indoor storm windows to decrease heat loss through your windows. It's a self-help program where the customer pays the materials and the customer provides the labor at local community workshops.
Okay. Dan, you know about Window Dressers?
Yeah, I've had the opportunity to see the impressive operation in action. And recently, a year or two ago in Dexter, got to see the volunteers there making these inserts, which can be made to go into folks' windows as opposed to which can come out year to year. So it's a really impressive operation. I would encourage folks to check it out as a DIY opportunity for homes because it can help save money and can often be less expensive. And so the Window Dressers team, I know, would probably also be happy to. They're also probably looking for volunteers. So if you want to get involved in your community, I know Window Dressers would take the help making these inserts.
All right, Catherine, thank you for that call. I think Stephen in Kapanetic has got a similar comment. Go ahead, Stephen.
Good morning. Thank you. I know at one point the window dresser and the inserts were being considered for rebates based on thermal efficiency and testing. Has any action been taken on that in that they are much more durable than the thin film heat shrink packages that are sold at the big box stores.
Michael, what about, are there any rebates for people who are making these kind of inserts?
Not that I'm aware of, Jennifer.
Okay. And just generally speaking, you know, Maine is full of people who, Dan, are do-it-yourselfers who will go online and find a YouTube video and make an insert themselves. Maybe more of those than people who are willing to buy one. Tell us about that. Tell us about other things that people can do without having to hire someone to make their homes more energy efficient this winter.
Yeah, I mean, I think both Efficiency Maine and the Federal Department of Energy have really great resources, let alone what you can find on YouTube and otherwise for DIY projects. I mean, I think it's a lot of things of, you know, common sense, right? You're making sure that you've got your screens out and your kind of double pane windows in. You've looked at caulking of and sealing for air leaks, weather stripping or doors, or putting in the kind of, again, taking out the screen door and putting in the glass. I think a few things I'll tell you that we do at our home is we, you know, for our basement entry, we have a DIY insulation box that we put in as a big area. And I think folks do that for attics as well. And then again, there's the kind of ceiling of windows that was talked about with window dressers. I will say, I think it's important to think about, you know, thermostats. Are they working appropriately? Do you have one set in a room which is maybe high, which you didn't realize? So checking that before the winter season starts as well. I think those are some common sense things that I think folks can do.
All right. One little thing is just to make sure your latch on all your windows is closed, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
All right. I have a couple of questions, and this is for you, Michael, about the cost of heat pumps. Let's see. I'll go to this one here. This is an email from Cynthia. I would like to know how the average cost with rebate for installing heat pump is $5,000 when a single system can be purchased for $500 to $2,000 max. It takes an average of 4 hours for two men to install the unit. After the rebate, customers still paying $3,000. Basically, some questions about cost. It sounds like, I think a couple people here are saying, it sounds as though what you're quoting is high.
Yeah, I think it's a market-driven cost right now. And I think there's been quite a bit of uncertainty in the market in the last 12 months or so, where you've got federal policies changing and having an impact. All of the units, not all of them, but most of them are switching to a new type of refrigerant that has a lower global warming potential. So that's good for the environment. But it took a little while for some of that supply to make its way into the supply chain. So there were some brief shortages in the past year. And I think they're very popular. So there's a bit of there's heavy demand. And, you know, I think these contractors can only go as fast as they can go. So I think that the prices should stabilize. I hope that they do. But it's a bit of an uncertain time right now with so many changes happening at the federal level and in trade policy. So I think the best we can hope for is that we have lots of contractors who are competing in this market, and they keep challenging each other to compete for projects and keep the prices lower.
We'll go to Liz calling from who is from Cape Nettet, calling from over the line in New Hampshire. Hi, Liz. Go ahead.
Thank you. This is interesting for me. I have gone the DIY route in an inherited house that was in abysmal condition. I have an oil-fired boiler. The smartest thing I've done with that, I have it serviced every year, and I check the antifreeze in the lines. I blow out the baseboard every year, clean the baseboard, make sure that the heat isn't being sopped up by, you know, dust kitties and dust. Programmable thermostats. You figure out, you know, when you're in bed under the covers, you don't need to be in a 70 degree room. Shut it down when you're not at home and you're, you know, you leave for work, drop the thermostat. It makes a difference. When you wake up, it's warm and toasty. You're cozy, have your breakfast, and then toddle on your own way. Voids. I've had to deal with rodent infested walls and the destruction to insulation, yanked out all the soiled stuff, put new stuff in. Shout out to Timberbat Insulation. It's a main product. And looking for the voids. Where electrical lines go through the plates on your house, that's a rodent highway. When you find those, seal them up. Seal up the cracks. And it's made a huge difference. The house, the comfort level in the house now is, it's much, much better. I still got a long way to go, but it's working.
Liz, you sound terrific. How did you learn all of this? Is this YouTube? Is this did your parents teach you well? How did you figure all this out?
My father was a plumber. My brother is very talented. He replaced the windows in the house that I'm in now. And so new windows, new doors, big difference. But the rest of it, insulation is not brain surgery. It's dirty, it's boring, and it isn't a lot of fun. I'm working in the attic today. It's going to be hot up there. Suck it up and do the work. If you don't do the work, you have to pay someone to do it. And my whole thing is to keep the costs down. I have been shocked by the delivery fee for electricity from Eversource in Maine. It's almost doubled in a year. And that has my full attention. And I've been listening to stories about exploding demand for electricity. How is that going to affect heat pumps in the future? I don't have the money to install a heat pump, so I've got to make the best I can out of what's already here in the house. They sound wonderful, but for me, they're not attainable and feasible for me at a price that I'm comfortable with.
Yeah, and this house is in New Hampshire, too, so you're not looking at the Maine energy rebates. Liz, thank you so much for calling in with your great advice. I want to turn to the one part of her question, though, when she's looking at the rising demand for electricity, the rising cost of electricity combined with the number of heat pumps being installed in Maine. Michael, I think that's a good question. Are heat pumps going to cost more to run in the future? Is it going to be worth it in the future financially?
That depends. It depends on the price of electricity, and it depends on the price of the competing fuels like oil and propane and kerosene. It's getting closer and closer with oil now. It's still a much better deal than propane or kerosene. But the caller makes a great point. I think there's a little bit of consolation that Maine and New England has not proved to be a popular place for AI data centers to build themselves, because I think we already have not the most attractive electricity prices. So most of that huge demand growth that you're seeing in electricity demand is happening in other regions of the country, and that's where they're seeing the biggest prices. But time will tell. We definitely have to all work together to try and keep the prices of electricity affordable.
I'm going to try to squeeze in another call. Go to Merle in Scarborough. Hi, Merle. Go ahead.
Hi. My question is about the price. Now, I got quotes for stage four heat pumps for about $11,000, and I bought them myself on Amazon for $2,300 and installed them. And then I had a technician spend one afternoon hooking everything up. So I got $11,000 worth of heat pumps for $3,000. So where does all that extra money go? Well, it's generally they come and they're there in one day and gone.
Great, Merle. We got about 30 seconds, so I'm going to go back to Michael. Michael, what would you say to people who listen to Merle and say, I'm going that route?
It's not for everybody, obviously. Merle is, been able to sort of GC this, general contractor this himself. And if he can do that, and if you can find a way to make it work, I say more power to you. I do think that you can mess it up if you don't install it properly. And that's why we've been encouraging people to go with registered vendors who you can find on the Efficiency Maine website. They're all, they've received a certain amount of training. And I think some of that price is their cost of installation and being there to back it up for you if anything goes wrong.
Well, that is going to be our last question for the hour. I apologize to all of you I was not able to get to. I know that the folks on our show all have people in their office who can answer your calls as well. Those were Sarah Johnson, manager of HEAP at the Maine State Housing Authority, Michael Stoddard, executive director at Efficiency Maine, and Dan Burgess, acting commissioner of the Maine Department of Energy Resources. Today's sound engineer was Andra Harris, Maine Calling Sandra Harris. Sandra, I gave you a new name. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You have been listening to Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio.